Lay. At this time, I'd like to turn over to the city attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was a special meeting of the city council this evening, and there were two closed session items on this evening's special meeting agenda. Item number one, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection D1, that's conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation. The name of the case is the City of Reedley versus Dow Chemical Company. This is the city's TCP litigation. There was no action taken in closed session on that item. Council received an update from legal counsel. Item number two was pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, and that's conference with real property negotiators. The property is assessor's parcel number 365-18108T. The agency negotiators were the city manager and the police chief, and the negotiating party was Luciana Ventresca. Under negotiation was price and terms of a potential deal. Again, no action was taken in closed session this evening. Direction was given to the city's negotiators on that item. That's it, Mayor.
All right, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to thank you folks for being here tonight for the Tuesday, September 27th, 2016 Reedley City Council meeting. And at this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And would you please stand for the invocation by Malcolm Light, pastor of the Reedley Mennonite Brethren Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance by Council Member Rodriguez.
If I may, City Council, before I pray, just wanted to offer thanks on behalf of Reedley Mennonite Brethren Church to Chief Garza and our excellent Reedley Police. I saw Chief Isaac here. There he is. And also to our Reedley Fire Department for their help in the fire at our church. It has been 30 days today, and we are very thankful as well for all of the work that the city has done for us. So let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for today. I thank you again for the opportunity that we have had to accomplish things that you have given to us to do. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this area and for Reedley and for this community. And we thank you, Father, for the ways that you continue to show yourself present, the ways that you continue to reveal yourself, and Father, that you are at work. Lord, would you continue to bless our city council? Would you give them wisdom and insight and discernment into the decisions that they need to make and the issues that they are dealing with? Thank you, Father, for again, that you care for us. We thank you for the bounty of this land, and we do pray for rain as we enter into that season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Bettenhoff.
Here.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Pass.
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Here.
Mayor Salino.
Here. Agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to this tonight?
No, Mayor. There are none from staff.
Do I hear a motion? A second?
Motion.
A second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Mayor Salino.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have two presentations. The first one is a Fire Prevention Week proclamation. I'd like to call on Fire Chief Isaac.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, members of the public. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Tonight's proclamation is an acknowledgement of Fire Prevention Week, which will begin October 9th through the 15th. And this also ties in with our 17th annual Fire Department Open House, which will be on Thursday the 13th, beginning at 5:30. I know this competes with another event you all have to go to, but we hope to see a few of you there. Anyway, reading tonight's proclamation, I have three of our fire explorers here with me tonight. Chantel Sanchez, Elias Seja, and Jasmine Ortega, and they will read the proclamation tonight.
Proclamation of the City of Reedley. An acknowledgement of Fire Prevention Week, October 9th through the 15th, 2016. Whereas the City of Reedley, California is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living and visiting Reedley. Whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at greatest risk for fire. Whereas United States fire departments respond to 369,500 homes fires in 2014, according to the National Fire Protection Association. Whereas U.S. home fires resulted in 2,745 civilian deaths in 2014, representing the majority, 84%, of all United States fire deaths.
Whereas in 1/5 of all homes with smoke alarms, the smoke alarms are not working. Whereas 3 out of 5 home fire deaths result from fires in properties without smoke alarms, 38%, or with no working smoke alarms, 21%. Whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reported home fires in half. Whereas many Americans don't know how old the smoke alarms in their homes are, or how often they need to be replaced. Whereas all smoke alarms should be replaced at least once every 10 years.
Whereas the age of smoke alarms can be determined by the date of its manufacture, which is marked on the back of the smoke alarm. Whereas Reedley's fire responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home injuries through the prevention of protection education. Whereas Reedley residents and responsive to public education measures are able to take personal steps to increase the safety from fire, especially in their homes. Whereas the 2016 Fire Prevention Week theme, don't wait, check the date, replace smoke alarms at least every 10 years, effectively serves to educate the public about the vital importance of replacing the smoke alarms in their homes at least every 10 years. And to determine the age of their smoke alarms by checking the date manufactured on the back of the alarms.
Therefore, I rate, so you know, Mayor Reedley and the Reedley City Council do hereby proclaim October 9th to the 15th, 2016, as Fire Prevention Week throughout the city. And I urge all people in Reedley to find out how old their smoke alarms are in their homes and to replace them if they are more than 10 years old, and to participate in any public safety activities and efforts that Reedley Fire and Emergency Services will offer to the annual open house held October 13th during the Fire Prevention Week 2016, dated September 27, 2016. Our second presentation is recognizing Coach of the Year, Ramon Romero, and I'd like to call Sarah Reese, Community Service Superintendent.
Oh. Sarah, you've gotten tall.
I changed. Ruben, sorry about that.
No problem. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm filling in for Sarah Reed, Ruben Castaneda Jr., Community Services Recreation Assistant. At this time, I'd like to invite up to the podium Mr. Ramon Romero. It is with great pleasure that the Community Services Department would like to recognize Mr. Ramon Romero as our 2016 Coach of the Year. Mr. Romero has been coaching for us for 3 years. During that time, Mr. Romero coached junior cages basketball, baseball, and junior giants. Out of those three sports, on multiple occasions, he coached two teams during those seasons. He stresses life skills such as leadership, confidence, respect, and self-discipline. Mr. Romero coaches for the love of the sport and volunteering. At times, his children would not participate in our programs, but he would still coach. He would find the time to stay and help and set up fields and clean up afterwards. Ramon always looked forward to helping and enjoying working and spending time with the kids. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I present to you Mr. Ramon Romero, 2016 Coach of the Year.
At this time, we go into public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public with the council, within the council jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit the comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Would anybody in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll go into the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove an item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. So at this time, would any council member wish to remove an item?
I'd like to remove item 7, please.
Okay. Any others? Is there any public comment on this?
I'll make a motion to approve the other consent items.
I'll second.
All right. Any public comment? Seeing none. Okay, we'll go back to item number 7.
Mayor, if you'll call for the vote on items 3 through 6.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me, call for the motion.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Going into item number 7, adoption resolution of number 2016-086. Granting authority to the city manager to enter an agreement with the pavement engineering company to prepare the pavement management plan. Engineering, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, Ms. Mayor, thank you. Council members, I'm happy to answer any questions on this item.
I am in support of the pavement management plan. I noticed that the fiscally, this will come out of the 2016-17 budget, and will come from the vehicle impact fees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I do not support that. So, okay, thank you.
Any council questions on this?
I have a few, Mayor.
All right.
This particular firm, they came in and they came up with that pavement management plan. Can you tell us a little bit about that versus the way we were doing it before we hired this particular agency?
Yeah, of course. The way it had been done before was staff had about 8 years ago, maybe more, had walked around and just done their best visual inspection using their own experiences to determine where the conditions and issues or problems were. And then took that and kind of itemized projects or areas that needed to be addressed first. It was kind of just a real, it was a technical approach, but not as formalized and detailed as what we're proposing here. What we're proposing here is that the firm that we've hired will go to every roadway, arterial, collector, and local, and alleyway, and perform what's called a pavement condition index on it. And that's it's called PCI index, and that is a formalized ASTM standard procedure used to evaluate the condition of a pavement. They then rank it, look at the, you know, compare it to the amount of traffic on each one, the importance of the particular roadway, and then prioritize it using a program that's in line with also our funding, available funding, to help us prioritize our funding over the next few years that hopefully goes to address the most needed roads, for improvements on the most needed roads.
So that's more, a lot more extensive.
It's a lot more extensive.
The way we're doing it, just, you know, looking at it and saying, this needs it, this doesn't. So
yeah.
A little bit more scientific approach.
Much more. It's an ASTM standardized method that they use to evaluate pavement. And they go on every roadway throughout the city and alleyway. We're also proposing to them also.
And then from that, we'll get the priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll all be entered into a program that then helps us prioritize it.
So I think it's really important what John also just mentioned is alleyways. We've heard a lot from folks about alleyways needing improvement here. This will be the first time that alleyways in the city of Reedley are evaluated. And one of the very important things here is that it all will get entered into a database program that we can then manipulate and use, as opposed to what we had before, which was a great attempt. It really was, and it's a lot more than other cities have, but a simple sheet with somebody's visual interpretation of a roadway condition. So this is a much more formalized approach. It's a scientific approach. It's a database that we can then use that will also link to unit costs on improvement, so we'll have a much better idea of how to leverage our funds to get more roadways reconstructed.
Correct.
And rehabilitated.
And I know that that's a big interest of ours because of the pounding that our big vehicles take, right, when they're picking up trash and so forth, and also police that are using that, fire and so forth. So
yeah,
the other question I had, Mr. Robertson, is that by doing this, how does that enhance our ability, or I would say opportunity, to maybe secure other grants?
It would give us that opportunity because we can really stand up and clearly present in our applications the PCI is an accepted standard index. So we can formally state in our applications that the PCI is this. This is the volume of traffic. It really expresses the need of funds that we might need for a particular roadway. So I think it gives us a little bit more advantage when we fill out our applications for
versus the old way we were doing it.
Right, because I didn't have anything I could put in front of on the application to say this is what it is. It was best estimates.
Thank you.
Any other council questions?
Oh, I just have one. This study obviously is going to give us an idea of the life left in that particular roadway. And I believe that's going to be important because a lot of times you don't see or you can't just visualize when you do it the way you're talking about with the study. It's going to give us an idea how long we can wait before we do something or how soon we need to get to it. So,
correct. It prioritizes the roadways based on the volumes of traffic and the condition of it, and then comparing it to available money so that we can say, well, this one will last us a little bit longer. We'll push that off.
That's what I'm saying. Gives you an opportunity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, Turn it back to the council for the wishes.
Mayor, if I may make one comment before you have a motion and a second on this. The item before the council tonight is solely on hiring the consultant, so I did want to address Ms. Councilmember Fast's comment about the funding. The funding was actually approved, and I believe that was on a 4-1 vote back in June. So the council is not approving funding tonight. That was already in place through the budget.
Okay. So it's just approval of the consultant?
Just approval of the consultant, correct.
So move.
Okay. Second.
And moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor
Salino? Yes. Going into item number 8, this is a public hearing. So conduct a public hearing and adopt resolution number 2016-082, authorizing the submittal of a community development block grant application for program years 2017-2018. And I'd like to turn it over to engineering, Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Mayor, council members, yes, the item 8 before you tonight is following the process of the community development block grant process that we have entered into with the county to select a project, bring it before council and before the public, receive comments on the project and moving it forward. It's a requirement of the application. Community development block grant application is for program year 2017 and 2018. And we're formally naming it the Reedley Street Improvements Phase 9. But it's really what it is. It's going to consist of reconstruction of existing roadway on Dinuba Avenue between the Southern Pacific Railroad and the East and G Street. That's over by the DMV, or just one side of the DMV. And it will be the roadway reconstruction and updating and improving any ADA ramps that are in that area. That'll be the bulk of the project. The purpose, as you know, of the federal CDBG program is to improve urban roadways and provide housing, adequate public facilities, and other infrastructure, primarily for low and moderate income housing persons within an eligibility area. And the eligibility area that we have in the city of Reedley is shown on Exhibit A. It was, as you remember, you might remember, it was recently, a year ago, 2 years ago, was modified. Some of the limits were modified. Mm-hmm. The Exhibit A in front of you is the most current, area that we are participating in for CDBG programs. So the allocation that we have this year from the county is about $230,000. That would not be enough to do the full project. So we are proposing to bring in vehicle impact fee funds and also Measure C funds to help us do the reconstruction that's going to be required for that area. excuse me. Really, that's completes the staff's report at this time, but I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have about this project in particular or about the program.
All right, any council questions? Mr. Robinson?
So if I understood you correctly, so the allocation or the grant is $230,000
from the community development block grant.
But we envisioned that we're going to spend far more than that.
Close to what we've estimated for the project limits, we've estimated about $430,000.
$430,000. So that's where we would reach for the VIF and Measure C.
Correct. To help make up the difference of that.
Any other question? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other council member? All right. Any other questions from council? This is a public hearing, so I'd like to open the public hearing. Is there any comments from the public on this item? Seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing and go to council. Do I hear a motion and a second?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Salinas?
Yes. Going into administrative business, consider the Greater Reedley Chamber of Commerce request for an additional funding amount of $25,000. To fund a Hispanic business outreach program and adopt resolution number 2016-084, a resolution of the City Council and City of Reedley amending the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget in the amount of $25,000. And I'd like to turn it over to City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. For most of this, I'm going to ask the Chamber to stand up and do a presentation and continue your plea for the funding. But I did want to mention a few things. One is Tim and Al did come see me last week, sat with me regarding several questions I had. And in fact, an interesting thing came to light, and that is one of the requests I had was for data. And they don't have data. And I thought it was a really interesting conversation that we had, that they really need the funding in order to get the data, which made some logical sense to me as we were sitting there in this meeting. So I do want to just thank Tim and Al for coming to meet with me to explain where you were in putting this program together. I want to explain to the council that what we've done here in this item is to give you maximum flexibility in moving forward with your policy decision. So what you have in front of you, actually, I'll tell you what Sylvia's just passing out are the financials that were provided by the Chamber of Commerce, according to Ms. Fass' wishes last week, or the week before last. But what you have in front of you in the council packet is a budget amendment that is for the full 25, but it does allow for lesser funding as well if you have some other formula you'd like to use. So we wanted to give the council maximum flexibility in how you did this item or approved this item if you choose to approve it. What we would need is for the motion to be made with specifically what the council's desires are. So for instance, if you wanted to provide half of the funding up front and half of the funding later, we simply need that as part of the verbal motion, and the minute order will suffice for the budget amendment. So at this point, I will turn it over to Tim.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, City Management, and the City Attorney. We don't want to leave him out of the mix.
Always.
I've got before we get started on our grant that we're going to be talking about, though, I do have some introductions to make tonight. First of all, we have some of our board members present in the room. If you guys will please stand as I introduce you. Michael Franzen at Dopkins Funeral Chapel. Dennis Lowe, Town and Country Markets. You can stand in it. And Denver Schutz from Growin Farming. So thank you for being here tonight. So also I want to acknowledge, before I make our introduction of our new CEO, I want to public acknowledge the Chamber's Staffing and Search Committee by name. They worked very hard for 3 months to bring us to this point where we're at this week. So the staffing committee was Dr. Sandra Caldwell from Reedley College, Juan Garza from Kings Canyon Unified, Al Smith, our interim CEO, Denver Schutz from Ground Farming, and then myself. I came along just to furnish the music and let them do their work. So anyway, those folks really worked hard. It was a very deliberate and very diligent process to bring us to this point, and we believe that we have brought out of the field of 25 candidates that did apply for the position, we brought forward the very best for the Reedley Chamber of Commerce and the City of Reedley. So I want to introduce our new CEO, Kimberly Hoff, and she's going to chat with you for a little bit.
Good evening. What a thrill it is to be here. It's been a little bit of a process. I wanted to just share a little bit about myself so that you would know who I am. I look forward to working with each and every one of you and moving this community closer together. I am a graduate of Fresno State. I've been a consultant doing marketing, television production, event coordination, fundraising, and the such for over 22 years. And have been a resident of Reedley for the last 4 years. My daughters, two of whom are here tonight, I'd like to introduce Lauren. She's our 16-year-old daughter. Lauren, if you could just raise your hand. There she is. And Dara, she is our 10-year-old. Dara, you can raise your hand too. Yeah, there you go. And my handsome husband, this is Darren Hoff, who is my great support. I also have here my grandmother, Wanda, and my mother, Carlene, also residents of Reedley. I began this process kind of on a whim. I had a friend call and say, you need to apply for this. And I said, you're crazy. And they said, no, really, read it, see what it's about. This is exactly what I do. I get up every day excited about life and excited to meet people, to look in their eyes and find out what their passion is, and to encourage them to go after that passion, to go beyond any obstacle that comes before them, and to move forward. I look forward to speaking face-to-face with the people of this community and the business owners, looking at them and asking them, why did you step forward and become a business owner in this community to begin with? Let's go back to that first day, that fire in your belly. What was it that made you love what you attempted to do and what you've been doing all of this time? And how can we help you continue to do that? How can we help you reach the people of this community? I think one of the things that excites me the most about Readly is that we have such a fun diversity of people. We go from the roots, the deep roots in this community, to the boots, to the farming. We go from the Swebok to the salsa. And I think bringing those people together, when we have all of the diversity, the backgrounds, the culture, we bring a new strength. We surround the problem, the solution, the vision, whatever it is that we're doing, we bring together all of those different visions, unify it, and move together, and we're very powerful. There are great things happening in this community, and surrounding areas need to know about us. They need to know that we are a little city by the river with great things. There's great potential. I have seen companies come to this town that I loved. I have seen companies leave this town that I loved. And when I was beginning this process of interviewing, I put together a video, and I walked through town on a Saturday afternoon with my camera, and I took pictures. I went into the barber shop, and I asked them to smile, and I approached strangers and asked them what they loved about Readly. And what was really fun for me was that I began to see that there is great hope here, that people love this town, and that we need to just join together and have a unified vision. I wanted to also share with you that I approach business in an upside-down fashion. Traditional business models are a pyramid with the CEO at the top. And I prefer to flip that triangle and that pyramid upside down, whereas I lead by support. So my job is to provide vision and to provide encouragement, but my job is also to roll up my sleeves and jump in the trench and to dig and to support each of these companies. And so that is how I will approach this. I do intend to keep my feet a little bit into the work that I've been doing for the last 22 years, and I think that is something that will benefit our community and get us on the map a little bit with some publicity. I am part of the Central Valley Honor Flight. I fly with our veterans to Washington, D.C. We're getting ready to leave in a couple more weeks. This will be Flight 12 for the Honor Flight and Flight 7 for me. So I'm absolutely thrilled to go as their social media reporter. And I tell you what, I had no idea the strength that we have in this country in that generation of people. They do not complain. They move forward. They are hopeful and they are respectful. And we have so much to learn from them. It is my pleasure to go and represent the Greater Readly Chamber of Commerce as part of the Honor Flight. And we hope to continue that into 2017. I'm open for questions if you have some that you wanted to ask of me.
Okay, Council. I'll leave it open to the Council. Start with Mr. Rodriguez. Do you have any questions?
No, just thank you very much for, you know, your presentation, and I think we, by going through this, you know, we get to learn a little of you and what your passion is, your interests, and I can see that you're just waiting to roll up your sleeves and get to work.
Absolutely.
So when do we see the businesses in town?
We're going to hit the ground running, that's for sure. So I'll be in the office on Monday, so.
Councilmember Fast?
I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys kept a good secret. And I look forward to working with you and wish you the best, and you have a good team behind you.
Thank you. I think so too. Absolutely.
Councilman Beck?
I'd like to welcome you aboard because you, the chamber works very close with the city, and we do the same thing, and it's important that we have communications, and I think you guys did a great job in your choice here. It's surprising, and I love it. It's local. You're connected to the media, which is very important to getting the message out, and you're going to know how to do that, and I think that's important.
Yeah, thank you.
And I also would like to welcome you. You've got a lot of energy, I can tell, and I'm very pleased that you were picked.
Thank you.
I look forward to working with you.
I'm excited to channel it to some fun things in our community, absolutely.
You know, the chamber came in before and requested that they we continue that $25,000. And $25,000 is no drop in the bucket. You know, it's public money. And we have to do the right thing when we start divvying out this $25,000.
Right.
I was hoping that we would have, at least since the last meeting, would have some kind of an itemized agenda of what you people would proposing to get to where you're doing. And there was a couple of things that was brought up, like, you know, how many Hispanic business are we in the city of Reedley? Do we have in the city of Reedley? Something about the ADA. Mm-hmm. And some of these things would have been good to have been itemized so we could see what you folks are proposing to do and how you're going to do it so that make us feel comfortable that the $25,000 going to the chamber is going to be, it's going to be done the right way.
Absolutely, and I know that Tim and Al have a presentation as soon as I'm done, but I do want to address that a little bit for you. My experience in event coordination and working with lots of nonprofit organizations, it's nice to have a budget. It's nice to have money presented to you, but I have to tell you that I am a guerrilla marketer by trade and that I'm used to going out and finding money. So I have no problem approaching businesses, getting them excited about the vision, what we are hoping to accomplish with each event, and the vision for our town. And so I look at each dollar as how can we spend each single penny and get the most value, but also getting people excited about how they can be part of the money that's spent. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate that you're considering that for us. So I'll let Tim and Al talk.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Fast, I take that as a high compliment that we can keep secrets. I really appreciate that. It was not easy, not in this town, trust me. So don't ask my board members what I threatened them with to stay quiet until we got here. Anyway, I want to bring Al Smith up, and we're going to do a recap of the things we covered and then answer some of the questions that we had for last week before. So Al, go ahead and come on up.
Thank you, Tim. Mayor Cellino, council members. To address the mayor's comments earlier, it might be worthwhile to review a little bit about what we presented to you a couple of weeks ago and just skim some of the highlights that may give you more detail about what you will be comfortable and what we are going to present to the table. I would just echo a little bit about what has been said here today. And I've been here now 3 months working as the interim. I can tell you that this is a phenomenal community. I'm an outsider who came in. I kind of knew where Ridley was on the map. It wasn't much beyond that. But I have been here for the 3 months, and I've met a tremendous amount of the business people and the leaders of this community. And there is a passion, there's an enthusiasm about this community that is, if we can channel it correctly, can be very, very positive for us. So I appreciate the opportunity that I've had. To the credibility of what we're doing, I shared with you the board. We've had some of the members here tonight. The board members, I gave you a list of all the people who have volunteered for the next year to be on the board. And I think that the leadership of this community is represented on that board. And again, I ask you to, anytime you don't think this organization is doing what it should, pick up those phones and give those guys a call. We put together an outreach program to bring together some partners to the table. SCORE was one of them. EOC was another. ADC was here. Those members were here the last time we met. We've got the Valley Small Business Development Corporation, SBA, and some others. Every one of these representatives has volunteered to come down and be with us, be a part of a planning steering committee that we're trying to put together. To give you specific, we offered up to you at least 2 6-steps programs in the Hispanic community, where we start through 6 steps of how to start a business, fund a business, plan a business, finance a business. We'll do that at least twice a year. We will do a crowdfunding event at least once a year. A computer literacy program we'll put together in this area once a year. Twice a year, we'll do a seminar on financial support for businesses just getting started. We'll do 2 times a QuickBooks seminar. The EDC has a great survey operation to give us the data that's necessary to maximize what we're doing. So all of these people have volunteered to be a part of this event, and we're thrilled to have those kinds of experts. On micro business outreach, we talked about networking 2 times and having seminars throughout the year. On shopping center outreach, we talked about how we can work with the RDA and combine those efforts. We're in the process of talking about that, and Tim will go into more of that, and we will do surveys. As I said, we did meet with the city manager. She brought up a couple of items that she wanted us to address. The identity of Hispanic businesses is somewhat complex. It's not easy to just say, okay, this is and this isn't a Hispanic business. So we're trying to work through that process. We are putting together a steering committee of the EDC, SCORE, the EOC. We've asked a member of your city, a team, to join that steering committee. So as we formulate these programs, you have a voice at the table, and we can better expedite that. So I think that's, in a nutshell, what we are offering. I think good people with good intentions can get together about a table and make good things happen. And so we appreciate that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, to address a couple of things, and Al and I met with Nicole, we kind of addressed it too. In the past, where we really want to go is this: we want to have a Hispanic business outreach program, okay, that not only looks good, but one that is good and performs, and that means we need to be able to touch those businesses. And so, as in cooperation with Anna Medina, who was here 2 weeks ago from the EOC, she's been very helpful with. She says she had told me a couple of months ago, we were talking about this. You have to be very careful, Tim, about how you identify a Hispanic business. Because she asked me, and so from my point of view, I laid out a very simple criteria. And then she says, well, why don't you go see this guy or this guy? Okay. And so you can't just run down the, and this is where the funding is very important. We need to be able to identify these businesses. Okay. Really know who is who in this town. A case in point, you cannot judge the business by the name on the door. There are businesses that have Hispanic names that have non-Hispanic owners. Hmm. Okay. There are generic names that have Hispanic owners. And the only way you will know is going to be calling on those people and finding out. Starting with, I'd already talked to Nicole about this too, the first phase of it is going to be get a list of all our business licenses and the owners and start to sort through cross-reference. Okay, owner name, business name there. And then also the important part, and this is where the funding component becomes extremely important. Al and I have managed to put together a great team to help us on this. And these are people that have a lot of experience, so I rely on them. People like Anna Medina and Shauna. And Anna, growing up in the Hispanic community, she's already given us some pointers, the do's and the don'ts and everything else. For the businesses, especially Hispanic businesses that are struggling, a simple phone call to them will not work. You need to go pay them a visit, walk through the door, introduce yourself, and build some trust, and then start that dialogue. and get them to start talking to you about what is it that's important. And we're going to be gathering that information, and then and through the steering committee here also, where this we want the city to have a seat at it. Rolling in, there's some obvious things that we know that we need to that the business community will be interested in. Number one is going to be how to fund your business, okay, ADA, all the other thing, employment, payroll taxes are a big issue for a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. It is a tremendous, anybody that's worked in payroll knows that. If the paperwork is not right and you don't understand it, you've got the feds, you've got the state, you've got everybody breathing down you. And it's to the point it cripples you. So those are real important issues. That's the number one question from most business owners, regardless of their ethnic background, is getting through state comp and payroll. So those things need to be addressed. And so where a lot of the funding mayor is going to be coming, you're going to be going, is going to be to that direct outreach, research, finding out who they are, and then addressing those needs. And that takes manpower and that takes hours, and that's what takes money. But we're going to implement, we're going to be doing things that have never been done through the Hispanic Business Outreach Program before. And I believe we've put together the team that we need, and we have the resources. And also, was there any question whether our new CEO is going to have enough energy for this job? For many of you?
No.
Okay. All right. So we have a brand new CEO on board who is energized, and Al and I are bringing her up to speed on all the things that we have ahead of us. And also for the Hispanic Outreach Program too, we're filling the gap as far as any language barriers. Our front office staff will be Spanish speaking. So we're working on that. We're gonna have somebody in the front office and do that. And then also that person will be our resource on the ground for business owners that are Spanish speakers only. So we are in the process now of covering all that, but you know, it takes a lot of time, effort, and it takes money to fund it. That's the bottom line there. But we are fully equipped, and I want to be able to come back to you next June, in addition to our quarterly reports to you, come back to you with a program that we can say this has been a success, and these are the people that we're reaching, and this is the feedback that we're getting. But it takes a lot of interaction and everything else, and so we're ready to step up. We have our partners, we have our venues in place for everything that we need to do. So just asking for your help on this. Any other questions?
Any questions?
I just have a comment because, you know, you can have a lot of money, but unless you build a relationship and build a trust, it's not going to happen. And I think that's the most important thing, and is going out, because a lot of the Hispanic businesses, they are doing well because we are pretty much the majority Hispanic now in this community. Mm-hmm. And they support those business, and you go to the taquerias and they're always busy. There's always people eating there, and they keep popping up. And so, but I think to get them involved in the community and to really be part, you need to go out, and like your friend said, Anna, you need to go out, and not a phone call is going to do it. That mm-hmm. personal contact is the one that's going to go and ask and meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And so unless you start really doing that, it's you're not going to feel part of the greater community and bringing them together. So
yeah,
just wanted to say that.
Okay. Well, thank you for the affirmation on that. Like I said, we've Al and I have, you know, put together a team of good resources, of good people that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. And part of our talks already has been that, and that was, you know, kind of the thrust of this, that it needs to be, we need to be able to reach out personally. Phone calls and mails do not work in the beginning. But once you build a trust and you know that we're here to help them, the Reedley Chamber of Commerce, the City of Reedley, we're on board, we want everybody to succeed, but we have to be able to carry that message directly to our business owners.
Any other questions? Tim, I have
just
a couple
of comments. And I think Ms. Bencourt touched on something that's real critical, but on top of that, or just as important,
is I think it's incumbent upon the chamber to make sure that some of those folks that you build relationships with and you build that trust, that they're locking arms and they're at those meetings, you know, and somehow affording them as they feel comfortable also, because it's tough to just step into roles. You know, we can't expect that from 1 month to the next, but to be comfortable and sit there also as an integral part of that, you know, chamber organization, not only locking arms and attending meetings, but also as they develop that, those skills and that confidence to even be a board member, you know, on there. And that's a challenge, because some of them may be limited English proficient, but we'll find a way how to do that. You know, you find a way. I mean, we find a way with kids in schools and so forth to teach them, so we can do that. But I think that's just so important that we do that. Otherwise, you know, developing relationships and building trust and them not going on, you know, they have to have the ability to pull the curtain and see what's really going on, and feeling good mm-hmm. about the things that you share with me, the things that you, the resources that I have, is not only spoken, but it's also in the works, and it's working. It's cementing, you know, and they're seeing the fruits of the labor that the chamber is doing and the CEO, and then they feel real connected into that whole process. Because mm-hmm. I think that what I like about Reedley is, well, one of the things I like about Reedley is we have so many different, you know, religions that we have, but yet when we need to pull those people together, they come together for this community. And I think that's important. So we need to look at business that way too. It's like, let's not just pull them together to give them an in-service or to give them, you know, some pamphlets. No, let's pull them together to really get to the core of those things, and then feeling really part of the process, and going home and saying, you know, this is not only sounding different, it's feeling different, and I'm proud to be part of it. So I think that's, like I said, it's paramount.
Tim, from the council, from the chamber, in the past we received information of business contacts that they were doing. Mm-hmm. And that gave us some input there. I'd like to see some information from the chamber periodically, and I don't know, quarterly, and maybe that's maybe a little sooner than that, in black and white as to what's happening with the chamber. Because people are going to ask, now you're giving the chamber $25,000. I've already been asked that mm-hmm. in the last time. And what are they going to do? I said, I don't know. We haven't heard from them. Mm-hmm. So we're hearing from you tonight. But I'd like it in black and white every so often as to what's taking place and some of the contacts that you're doing with businesses.
Okay. Madam CEO, did you hear that?
And if I can chime in, I'll say that our existing contract does require a monthly written report. And so, Kimberly, I'll work with you and we can walk through what that looks like and what it should be.
Yeah, there's been a little gap in the reports, but that like many other things at the Chamber of Commerce is changing. Yeah, by looking at our balance sheet, also, things are different. This year, you asked for a budget and you received one. You asked for financials, you received them. And what we want to do, Mayor, is bring a new level of transparency to what we're doing, because you're our partners on this.
Well, let me have just one more. Say if the council was to say, we'll give you half of the $25,000 now. And once we feel comfortable, which we hope would be right away, that you would receive the second, what kind of predicament would it put the chamber in if you only got received the half of it today?
Well,
would it hinder you?
I want to quote my wife. When it comes to money, she says, more is always better. Sweetheart, is what she tells me. Yeah. Okay. And so really at this point, you know, full funding would be ideal, where we could really hit the ground running, put all those resources in place, including our Hispanic administrative assistant and liaison in the office right away to get going, because breaking the ice on this is going to be very labor intensive. So ideally would be the funding up front. If the council chooses to do it incrementally, we're going to be grateful for whatever. We'll work with you on whatever decision you come to.
I'd like to make a statement.
Sure.
We're looking at $25,000. That's taxpayers' dollars. That's local. We already fund you a large amount to begin with. I'm kind of like with the mayor. I'm looking at, I want to see something in return first. I really do. I didn't get that the last time when I put out this amount. This time I'm going to be a little more conservative. If you can show me what you've done, and I don't know if we need a 3-4 month time frame to look at that, to come back. I'm up with him with 50% up front. And if you can show me something within a certain period of time, you'll get the other 50%. But I kind of, this time, I want to see something out of it, because I didn't see anything out of it last time. And it was, I just didn't see any result from what was spent last time, with nothing gained from it. And when you only have, what, 3 or 4 or 5 people show up at one of the meetings out of that, that does not cover that amount of money. And so I don't have a problem with helping, but I want to see something before I give it all away.
Okay. And I can appreciate your apprehension. On that last one, that was under the old management regime, and all that's changed. Everything is changing, our marketing and how we reach people. And that's been a big component of it, is to make sure, and that's why working with Anna Medina, she says, Tim, you, this is where we want to go. We want to be, you know, help you with this. And so we're putting into place the marketing to reach the people to get them there and to get you some numbers. And I have no problem. It's no different than a lot of things that we do. I do it in my business every day, is performance-based. And so if you want to incrementalize it with 50% down at 3 months, and it's sooner than 3 months, you will be receiving data from us and regular reports. And so,
I guess what I'm looking for is, this is an investment for the city as well as us funding it. It's an investment for us also. Because we're looking at what we're going to get out of the chamber on this, because hopefully it's going to spring new businesses. It's going to influence business that's already operating to do better. And that's what's important about it. But I think because of the last situation that I seen, I've got to have something before I turn loose of the full amount this time. And okay. I don't like being so tight with it, but it's bad enough when you can't show the folks what happened the last time, and you kind of get hit with it every time that question comes up. And like I said, I don't have a problem with investment if there's a return on it. But if you don't keep putting in an investment in something that's giving you less back than what you're putting into it. Okay. So I just have to see something.
I can appreciate that. And in other chamber issues, I have my feet to the fire already, because it's all performance-based. Because we're turning the page. This is going to be a new day in Reedley for us. And once again, we have a very energized CEO coming in, a very energized board, and we're serious about what we're doing. So, sure, we'll work with you on that. That's not a problem.
Tim, one more question. You know, the chamber covers the whole community as far as business ways. The Downtown Association covers the downtown. That's their baby. Can we see a closer relationship between the chamber and the RDA?
Yes. Because it's already underway.
Great. Because that's what we want to see. That'd be a great plus for the city.
Yeah, I've already met with them. When they found out there was a new sheriff in town, they called me, and I said, absolutely, we want to talk. So I've already met. I've already met with the RDA folks. But at that time, they were running up on their taste of the town. They were very busy. We have the Fiesta right around the corner. And so, which has had its challenge. Everything has come together. Joel Glick has been very helpful. Just because of our transition and everything else. And so if there is a complaint about the Fiesta, I promised Kimberly this, don't blame her because she just got here. Come right. to me, okay, on that. But anyway, and it's part of what in the meeting I had with the RDA, I said, look, I said we're all serving the same community, and there's no reason for us to be competing right. or not working together. And the Greater Ridley Chamber of Commerce, you know, we serve business. We have members in the entire 93654 area code. Okay, rural businesses and everything else, you know, our zip code goes all the way to Highway 180. And so we cover geographically a large area. And so things that we're working on is we're going to be cooperating with the RDA and give them, they're going to reciprocate with us, which they already have. I gave them a little bit of help with the Taste of the Town as far as promotion and stuff, and they're sending volunteers our way for the Fiesta. So, yeah, so things are turning a corner. Nothing happens overnight, but we're getting there. So once we get through all these fall projects and stuff, we're going to be talking with them again.
All right. Any other questions from the council?
We're 3 months into the fiscal year, you know, so we're going to be approaching October here. And I'm pretty sure you've discussed it, Tim, with Kimberly, what have you, but it's almost like fast forward at this point in time, because you've already condensed your year to 9 months and wanting to accomplish some of your goals and objectives that people would have a 12-month span to do with. So now it's 9 months. So I think, again, it puts pressure, you know, I can realize that it puts pressure on your folks, on you know, your members, on this new CEO, but I think good things come from pressure. I think people function better under pressure if they stay focused and intensify the process. So, but I support, you know, Councilman Beck too, is that if we start seeing the dividends, you know, we can start seeing things, whether it's every, you know, 2 months, or whatever you folks communicate with the city manager, I think that, you know, enhances the process of continuing to fund or give that money that's needed to accomplish those things that we want. But I think it's a good plan, and I think the mayor pointed something out. I know that you guys have talked about it a lot. You envision what you want to do, but when we can get it on paper and you can see it, and I know you will get it. I know it just takes a little bit of time to do that, and you say, okay, this is where it is, and it's performance based. These are our objectives, and this is how we're hitting those targets. Then I think not only the chamber and the membership starts feeling good, and the CEO, but all of us start feeling good, you know, from council to city staff and so forth, because not only are we talking or envisioning, but we're actually seeing the results. And results, you know, can come to us, you know, monthly, like Nicole pointed out with that monthly report. And then other results, it can be whether it's quarterly, you know, every 3 months. But there's different ways we can do that. But I think that's important not only for us and for the chamber, because it keeps your eye on the ball, but it's also important for the entire community, because you already heard the comments tonight that, yes, community will say, like, okay, how's that money being used, and are we ensuring that we're getting the bang for our buck? So, okay, this is the plan, this is on paper, and this is what we've achieved so far. And just like what we do, right, mid-year, we kind of take a look at our budget, and we see where we're at. And department heads kind of give us, you know, a little synopsis or a little report of where we're at. If we can kind of stick to that plan, that's going to work for all of us. And when I say all of us, I'm also talking about the community feeling good about the investment that we make.
Very good. I can assure you, my board and myself and CEO, we are on things we've already been working on. We have been relentless. And we've set high goals for ourselves this year, and We're going to hit them, every last one of them. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Well, is there any public comment on this item? See none, turn it back to the council for the wishes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve 50% of this amount on contingency that the other 50% will be funded upon a completion and a satisfactory report from them. And I think kind of leave that to the city manager on the time frame.
Sure, we can work something out.
And work
like.
Something out maybe with the chamber time frame.
A second.
Been moved in second.
So let me be clear, we're talking about providing $12,500 to the chamber up front now, and then we will come back to this body at a time frame that's sufficient, whether that be January, February, with a written and verbal report, and at that time the additional $12,500 will be considered for approval.
Yes.
I think January would be a good time, because that's when staff also kind of tells us where we're at, right in the middle of the fiscal year.
We will be giving a mid-year review at that point. Okay. But it's,
yeah, no,
it's
I think
up
that's,
to the maker of the motion.
No, I think that's a good time frame, because that's going to get us over the top and it'll get us into the new year, and it'll be pretty much a 90 day. That's right around a 90-100 day window frame anyway. So.
Okay.
Been moved in second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
No.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Thank you very much. Moving into item number 10, authorize and or provide a direction to the city region, Southeast Regional Disposal site representative pertaining to the county and Fresno request for additional revenue to maintain the closed disposal site located at South Academy and East Dinuba Avenue. Turn over to Public Works, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. This evening, staff would like to provide some information and seek direction regarding the need for additional revenues at the Southeast Regional Disposal Site. We have a PowerPoint that we'll try to get up in a second here. The Southeast Regional Solid Waste Disposal Site is located, it's a landfill that's located at Academy and Dinuba Avenues. And there are, the city of Reedley is one of the owners of this landfill that's located at Academy and Dinuba Avenue. There are seven cities that own portions of the landfill, as well as the county of Fresno, and those seven cities are Reedley, Kingsburg, Selma, Orange Cove, Fowler, Parlier, Sanger, and the county of Fresno. So the acronym for the Southeast Regional Disposal Site is SERDS, and the landfill was purchased for the purpose of solid waste disposal for all agencies located within the SERDS area. And that area is included in your council packet under Attachment A, if you would like to look at that. The owner member agencies entered into a joint powers agreement in 1970, and the purpose of that agreement was to manage the solid waste generated within the SERDS area, ensure appropriate funding for the operation of the disposal site, and also establish percentages of associated costs, and those percentages were based on owner agency population. And I believe our percentage at the time in 1970 was 10 point something percent ownership. So the Southeast Regional Solid Waste Commission is an oversight committee that was established by the Joint Powers Agreement. That commission is made up of a representative from each JPA member agency, and the city's representative commissioner on the commission is Mayor Salino. In 1990, SERDS, the landfill, stopped accepting waste, and it's currently in post-closure maintenance. So Mr. Salino, Mayor Salino, I'm sorry, filled me in that the facility had reached capacity, and so it was closed in 1990. So now post-closure maintenance activities are currently funded via a $3.50 per ton surcharge on landfill waste generated within the SERDS area. By the end of fiscal year 2017-18, the cost to maintain the SERDS, the landfill, will exceed the surcharge revenues, and additional funding will be needed on an annual basis from each JPA member. So Proposition 218 and Proposition 26 restricts the ability of the commission to simply increase the surcharge fee to gain additional revenue. So what we have here, I'll see if I can find the pointer. Oh, that wasn't it. Oh, here it is. Okay. So I'll turn this way. We have two tables here, and so before I explain the reason for the two tables, across the bottom is this is the fiscal year, and this is the total revenue shortfall that's projected for that fiscal year. You'll see it's on the same on both tables. So fiscal year 2017-18, the projected shortfall of revenue is anticipated to be $128,000. And by this table, the release share would be 13.2%. We would have to pay an additional $17,000. Here's fiscal year 2018-19, 19-20, and 2021. So you'll see that in fiscal year 2018-19, there's a substantial amount here as far as a revenue shortfall. So I'd like to just go over that for a second, and this turned out very badly. I apologize. This is attachment sheet C, and it's a financial sheet that's included in your council agenda packet. I'm afraid you're gonna have to take my word for it. But here, under 2018-19, under expenditures, down at the bottom, there's a $250,000 expenditure, and it's under carbon. It says something carbon. I can't even read it myself, so I apologize. But I wanted to just kind of, the projected expenditures are so high for that year, 2018-19, and the reason is because it is anticipated that the state will pass down some requirements onto the landfill as far as how they get rid of their gas emissions. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's flare technology out at the landfill. They're burning off the gases utilizing flares, which is common practice. And now that does not meet current air quality regulations. So the county told me, I called them and asked them what that $250,000 would be for. They are saying that it looks like the state's going to require them to put in a carbon filtration system around that year. That's going to be a substantial cost. So that's the reason why we have a shortfall in 2018, fiscal year 2018-19 of $336,000, substantially more than the other years. So I'd like to explain the reason for this information tonight. This is the shortfall that the city's the owner agencies are going to have to come up with. There's two tables here because there's two options that were presented to the commission for consideration. Option one is a share, and the share is based off the 1988 Joint Powers Agreement, and you'll see that Reedley's share is 13.2% of the additional cost. Option two here is a blended share. So what they did is they blended the 1988 JPA percentages, but they also took in some current information on populations. And what this did was actually increase the County of Fresno's percentage of share. It decreased the City of Reedley's to 12% instead of the 13.2% on option two. So option two does amount to less cost for the City of Reedley per fiscal year moving forward. So essentially, the Southeast Regional Commission requested that this information be brought forward to each council or each member agency so that each city council may provide direction to the representative on this matter. So this evening, it's staff recommendation that we move direct our representative to entertain option number two. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have regarding this matter.
Any questions from council?
Are they going to vote on it? Is that what they're going to do?
Yes, the commission will vote, and so Mayor Salino will be the voting member of the commission representing Reedley.
It'll go back to the commission.
I have a question. You said something about them putting in a carbon filter.
Correct.
Project out at the site. Have they looked at putting a generator in? Electric? Is there the cost factors between the two?
I would have to defer to Mayor Salino.
They used to have some machine generators and machines out there, but they got so bad that they were shaking so much that the neighbors would complain about it. Prior to that, there was no way to take that. They didn't realize that the methane gas was going to be formed in there. So when it started coming from the bottom. And on the west side, what happened was there's a farmer out there with the grapes, that his grapes got affected where in the wintertime they were producing, in the summertime they were going dormant. That caused a lot of problem. So they went into the other system where they were going to be shooting it to the top. And now they want to change to a different format.
Yeah, no, what I was talking about is Tulare County has electric generators. They produce energy from theirs.
Yeah, I think I ran this by a couple people. Right. I had a good conversation with Councilmember Beck yesterday. I think the size of the landfill, the fact that it's closed, doesn't generate enough high-pressure methane in order to run a generator is what I'm hearing. Okay. So, yeah.
I just had a question, Mayor. In your discussion of, I'm sure, these two options here, do you get a pushback from the County of Fresno, or are they willing to say, yes, we have a bigger population, we should take our part?
And staff from Fresno County that runs this commission, they were willing to go back and get an approval from their staff.
On this second blended one.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Good.
And I would suggest, for the sake of not having to return to council for another vote, that authorization be given to the mayor to make the call at the time as to option one or option two. But certainly what we're looking for tonight is for the mayor to receive approval to make that call when he's at the commission. So.
And if the mayor doesn't like it, he can veto.
Well, I think an interesting thing to point out is that option two, while the county picks up a bigger portion and our portion goes down, which looks fabulous, there are two little cities that actually get a higher share.
Yes.
And that will impact them. Orange Cove and Fowler will actually end up paying more if the county picks up more. I think that's
They'll pay more if the county picks up more?
If they use the second.
Orange Cove, Fowler, and second.
If they,
Yeah.
So there are some smaller cities that will be impacted slightly more. Orange Cove, for instance, pays under the option A, which is the county picking up less and us paying more, $5,797. They pay a little more under option two, but the county picking up more. So it's interesting that by the county picking up more, some of our brethren cities that are struggling will have to pay more as well. Mm-hmm. So,
interesting.
It's going to get lower.
Cost of doing business.
It's bad.
Any other questions from council? Russ, thank you very much on that one, on that presentation.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, turn it back to the council for the wishes.
I'll make a motion to approve the blended as our first pick, but to leave it open to our mayor to use discretion to pick either one of these exhibits.
Yeah, sure. Second. I move in second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Going into item number, receive an information report, and that's just for the council, and that's item number 11. And we'll go into council reports, and we'll start with Councilman Beck.
Had the opportunity to attend the Taste of the Town last Thursday, and a lot of good food out there, a lot of good food. First time I had a chance to eat food from Scott's Barbecue and from the Wake House, and they both are excellent. Had a good time there. I don't know exactly what the number of people that showed up, but it looked like it was pretty full like usual. So, also had the pleasure of being at Emanuel High School for the groundbreaking of the new elementary school, and that's going to be a beautiful facility added to the campus there. So, Emanuel seems to be always on the cutting edge of getting things done around this community, and they're going to be adding a great facility there. So, that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, Councilman Rodriguez.
Just echoing the same things. Had the opportunity to go to the groundbreaking. I just think that I commend them, congratulate them. I'm really impressed with our superintendent, though, Ryan Wood. I think just a whole new breath of fresh air, the way he does things. If he's the face of Emanuel, which I think he is in that position,
I feel that he's been able to galvanize and get a lot of support. But it was neat, you know, having all those kids there too, so they could see what was being actually dedicated and what's going to be developed there. And then having a little different, but I thought it was great having the principal, you know, go up there and talk about it instead. You usually start with the top, you know, person, but I thought it was great. And the taste of the town, as Mr. Beck pointed out, you're not offended if I say Mr. Beck, are you? Pointed out that this is great. Nice evening. We had good weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a couple of folks that put some food items out there that weren't part of it last year. But good to see our folks come together, you know, one evening like that out of the year to kind of share and talk and so forth. So, and that's all I have, sir.
Okay. Councilmember Fast?
I also attended the two events, the Taste of the Town and the groundbreaking for Emmanuel Schools. And Taste of the Town was just perfect this year, it seemed like. The weather was perfect. It was just a fun evening. One thing that I did notice, and you've had people coming the last couple of years, is all the volunteers to come and clean off tables. I think there were students that were from around this area, and I think that was neat. I had a chance to talk with a couple of them that were helping, and I think it's a neat way for kids to give back to our community, but to also see what they can be a part of as adults too. And I thought that was a nice offset for them as kids. And the groundbreaking, I'm real excited to watch the Emmanuel Elementary School get built so that they'll have room to actually house all those kids. It seems like they're kind of crammed in right now. So, thank you.
Okay. Member Tam Bencourt?
I went to the groundbreaking, and I didn't realize that piece of property was so big after, you know, when you actually got up there.
Well, it's a baseball field and tennis courts.
Yes, when you got it all cleared out. So.
Yeah.
But it was really nice, and like you say, it's going to be a nice place for kids. So.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. I have none, so I'll turn it over to staff reports.
Okay, I have several. I'll try to move through them quickly. As you know, a few weeks ago, the governor signed our groundwater services agency bill, so we now are officially the Kings River East GSA, along with 16 other partners. It's very, very exciting. We're one of the few legislatively created GSAs in the state now, which means we have an additional level of protection should some of our neighboring irrigation districts not get their act together to form a GSA. I'll leave it at that. What this means for us is that within the next week or meeting or two, we'll need to bring an item forward to have a representative to sit on that GSA. There is one city vote amongst the three cities. However, all three cities will appoint a representative. So that's Orange Cove, Dinuba, the city of Reedley. What I would advise is, initially up front, there will be a lot of work as this GSA is formed, and it will be very technical work, as we're talking hydrology matters and legislative matters. It will be fairly intense up front, although the initial term of the board member will be for a couple years. So once we get the upfront work done, it should smooth out. So if you have an interest in serving, if you would let the mayor know or me know, then what we can do is, those few who are interested, we can sort of see who might fit better for the initial board. That will be coming to you, as I mentioned, the next meeting or two. And the goal is by November, that board will be seated. The legislation calls for January for the first board meeting to happen for the GSA. So it's very exciting for us. It's very good stuff. I wanted to let you know that the State Center Community College District did hold a strategic planning session last Monday. They did invite me and several Reedley businesses to attend and participate. It was a fascinating process. I'll tell you, educators do things slightly different than the rest of us bureaucrats, so it was fascinating. And that strategic plan will serve as the guiding document for then a local Reedley College plan, in which they'll have even more participation from Reedley. So I very much want to thank Dr. Caldwell for reaching out and making sure that we were represented there in that strategic planning session. I want to let you know as well that we are moving forward with our water bond refinancing. As you know, we refinanced our wastewater bonds, and then we held off due to some debt ratio coverage issues and some other things that we were looking into. In the meantime, better lucky than good, Brexit happened, which made the market the best it has ever been, literally the best it has ever been for us in municipal bonds. So we'll be bringing that forward to you for a bond refinancing, and we're looking at annual savings that exceed the six-figure mark. So this is going to be good for our community and good for our ratepayers, although not an easy thing to do, and certainly not a foregone conclusion that we'll get this from the bond rating agencies. So that'll be moving forward to you within the next few meetings. Also, this coming Saturday, there is a library fundraising event at PR Farms, Pat Ricuti Farms up in Clovis. And that's a fundraiser for the new Clovis Library, and they've invited us to attend because that will set the tone for what they intend to do for Reedley the following year for our Reedley Library fundraiser. So if any are interested in attending, let me know. That's this coming Saturday. And then I will be attending the League of California Cities Conference in Long Beach October 5th and 6th, and I believe Councilmember Fast will also be attending, representing the council. And so if you need anything during that time frame, we'll make sure that you have appropriate contact numbers for us. Do we have any staff with some updates?
Good evening, Council. Just wanted to come before you tonight and make you aware of a code enforcement case that commanded the collaboration of four city departments to finally gain resolution. And I'll just give you a brief synopsis. The property involved was originally reported to code enforcement as having no city services. And the ensuing months, you know, that prompts action on our part to make contact with a tenant, property owners, if we can find them. We give out citations and that kind of thing. So the ensuing months saw multiple citations being issued to multiple occupants for lack of services and public nuisance violations. And this is a residence where the occupants have some very undesirable habits. The property is also adjacent to a preschool. So during one of the inspections of the property, it was found that there were some folks living in the backyard in a shed. And a 7 or 8 year old girl was found lying on a mattress on the floor, a dirt floor inside of the shed. And I believe later a call out to that same address by Reedley PD prompted a call to Child Protective Services, and that child was then removed at that time. So the nuisances continued, and so did citations and inspections. Last week, during a follow-up, the tenant gave permission for city staff to enter the residence, and inside the conditions were very filthy and unsanitary. There were stored waste items in buckets inside the home. The tenant had a parent with an amputated leg lying in one of the rooms, and they were using a portable generator for power and had an extension cord coming from the outside to the inside of the house, running a small refrigerator so they could keep medications cold for the individual in the bed. So this information gets reported to our Development Review Committee weekly, as they convene every Tuesday. And as a result, the fire department, the police department, community development came up with a game plan to approach the situation. And Reedley PD made contact with Adult Protective Services about the person that was laying in the bed. Community Development Department's building official was present during this inspection to determine the conditions of the structure, and from that resulted the parent that was laying in the bed was removed by ambulance because Adult Protective Services determined that that was an unsafe place for that person. The two of the tenants were arrested for elderly abuse and I guess are facing charges at this time.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so, you know, what started out as what we thought was going to be a very simple code enforcement case turned out to be something far from it. And I think it's just a testament to how our city staff works together, all the departments work together, whether it's public works, fire, police, and community development. We've worked together to come up with a plan and provide some resolution for the folks that are affected, some whether it's criminal or whether it's a matter of their life and health. So right. I just wanted to let you know what has happened here in the months prior to this. So well, that's all
that's
I have.
Great.
And if that's Chief Garza great. Wants to add anything, feel free.
Just to excuse me, just to echo a little bit of what the fire chief was saying, it was truly a team effort. It was a collaboration between all the departments. And you know, and truly I think that's really the identity that we have developed over the years. And you know, and I really believe that our city manager is very key to that, because she really said, do not build silos, we are one. And we've really lived up to that. And so it's just not a police department issue, it's just not a fire issue, it's not a code enforcement issue, it's all of our issues, and we really came forward together as a team to deal with this issue, because it was very deplorable conditions that these folks were living in, you know, and unless someone reports those, we can never do anything about it, because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And so, you know, we do encourage our community, if they do see anything like this, to notify us so that we can investigate it, because again, people are living in these conditions, and it's just unacceptable to be living in those conditions. So I really thank our, you know, our city staff for really coming together and making a difference. So,
and Council, I had asked the chief to give just an update on this code enforcement situation, because I think very frequently our community believes it's as easy as going and simply issuing a citation. And in fact, because of the laws that we want to have in our state that protect private property, protect personal freedoms, some of these cases, these very complex cases, take months, if not years. There is one case that just today we have some resolution on that has taken years because of the legal complexities. So I wanted these gentlemen to stand up and get credit for working through a very complex case, and also so that our community can understand that sometimes it isn't as easy as simply going to issue a citation. Mm-hmm. So thank you, gentlemen.
City Manager, I just had two items as well. I'm going to wear two hats right now. I'm going to wear my police department hat and remind everybody that next Tuesday is Read the Night Out. It's our annual Read the Night Out. We have over 24 block parties that are confirmed to have parties, so we encourage our city council and anyone to come out. It is between 5:30 and 8:30, and if you'd like, we could provide you with a list once it's all completed. If you can contact us by Monday morning or by Monday afternoon, that list should be completed, because we do have some tentative other folks that are tentatively going to participate. We're just waiting for their responses, and we can get you that list in your districts so that you can make those visits if you'd like. So we can provide that. So just again, remind the city council about that. I'm going to put my other hat on. I'm going to put my Rotary hat on as well, because you know, as Tim had indicated, you know, Kimberly does not take the blame for Reedley Festa this year. If something goes wrong with the parade, you're looking at the guy to take the blame, because I can't defer that blame. I have been selected as the parade director for this year. I think I missed that meeting. That I went to the bathroom or something. I don't know what happened. They said something about, I don't know. So we do have a really great lineup coming up on the 8th, October 8th. The parade will start at 10 o'clock. We have several bands from around the area. Obviously, our local band, Reedley High School Band, is going to be performing, as well as the Orange Cove Band. So it's, you know, we do have 40 plus entries, which is going to be, and we still have a few coming. I was told that to expect people to be entering all the way up until about next Friday, and some even showing up Saturday morning and saying, can I be let in? So I'm hoping to have anywhere up to about 50 floats part of this this activity. I'm happy to share that the Shriners are coming back to our parade. So they've been absent from our parade for several years. We've been able to get them to come back, so that's a great opportunity. And you know, so I, and this year's theme is let freedom ring, celebrating our Constitution. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what type of floats our elementary schools, our schools put together, because this is a great opportunity for our kids to learn about the Constitution, because unfortunately it's really been beat up and bashed around, and it's never, doesn't look the same anymore. And so this is an opportunity for our kids to really learn what the Constitution really said and how it was said. And so it's just a great opportunity. So I do look forward. I know the city council does have a float. I guess you're going to be riding in the fire truck. So, and I understand from the fire chief that we're going to have the old hose wagon coming out. So the Historical Society is opening up the vault and allowing them to pull the hose wagon out. And so that's going to be pretty neat to see as well. So, again, a lot of excitement. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Fiesta event itself is going to bring. So just look forward to seeing you there. So I'll take that hat back off.
That's great.
I believe we're done.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for this meeting tonight, and we'll adjourn the council meeting tonight. Thank you.
Gary?
Yeah.